and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show, streaming live on BBS Radio from California and syndicating over 100 stations globally. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, and my mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by showcasing amazing women who've risen from tragedy to triumph, from a point of chaos to confidence, and are now in a successful role, making a huge contribution either to their community or globally. So as a female founder and entrepreneur, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices. And in the past 10 years in particular, supported women excel in their leadership and especially in their confidence. So today, I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to flourish in business, to expand and engage their team, to grow their business with ideal clients and have more sales for a sustainable business that's fun. So we can have balance as female entrepreneurs and we can be great role models for our children. And an important piece of being resilient and being able to cope with life's challenges and surprises is learning to manage through major trauma. So I'm delighted today to welcome my guest, Melody Chardon. Melody is a certified life coach and grief recovery specialist. She knows what it's like to be hit by overpowering change. Herself, in the span of 18 months, she faced her father's death, started a new career, filed for divorce, and she had two kids at the time. Her relationships, her career, and her finances were obviously all in upheaval, and her health suffered. So she was forced to learn how to embrace grief and to grow through it, as opposed to resisting change or racing to get over it and avoiding the pain. And this is the personal transformation which led her to a deeper level of compassion, wisdom, and love for herself and others, and inspired her to take her enlightened understanding and coping strategies and become a certified life coach and grief recovery specialist herself. Her belief is that just like diamonds, which are formed under extreme pressure and upheaval, so do you become more brilliant and resilient with the emotional upheaval of change. What I wanted to say about Melody is I saw her speak just last weekend, and I really felt that there was such an important message to share, because after major trauma, many people can live their lives feeling somewhat hopeless or heartbroken or disheartened or disenchanted. And instead of moving on from the loss, moving forward with their recovery and moving forward with their recovery, they stagnate. And as Melody will be sharing with us, you know, endlessly reliving that negative experience while telling that same story or searching for something or someone to blame is not a great place to be. So imagine what your life could be like, what could be possible once you embrace your natural and necessary grief. That's the focus of our talk today. So welcome, Melody. I'm delighted that you can join me.
Hi, Yvonne, and thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Welcome. Yes. So, you know, you may associate death or grief with the loss of a loved one, but really any change in life can cause grief. So it could be a divorce, it could be a relationship, it could be a breakup, a miscarriage, a career change, a job loss. Now, we're coming to you live from Calgary in the base of the Rocky Mountains in Canada. And if you've been following the news, we've had, thousands, probably I think 65,000 I saw was one number of job losses with companies restructuring, and it's been impacting a lot of people in Canada, and particularly in Calgary though with the oil and gas economy. So job loss is something that's really front and center for a lot of people, but it could be retirement or caring for aging parents, selling a family home, you know, all of these things trigger emotions of grief. So Melody, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, some of those circumstances and what your experiences have been in how people respond to things that are done to them, as opposed to the things that we plan out and we control. How does that impact people?
Well, Yvonne, I love that you just said done to them. And what I like to do is have people look at why is it happening for them. So yeah. We all go through change. Change is something that we honestly can't get through life without. And So what I do with people is to help them to understand that the change is actually happening for them and what's the gift in the change. And I know that that's really hard for some people to look at, especially when it's the loss of a loved one that we're talking about. But sort of the first thing to do when change happens is to allow everything that you're feeling to have its place and its expression. So, the embracing your grief is really drawing it towards you and accepting it as the natural way through life. We, you know, if we look to nature, we see that trees lose their leaves every season, and we don't see the trees trying to pick them up and put them back on. And, you know, a lot of times when we're trying to pick up the pieces after a loss, we're trying to make life be exactly as it was, and that's impossible. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to allow the freedom for the expression of the grief, allow it to move through us, and then create that opening for something new to emerge.
Yeah. And I love that expression. I think at one point when we connected several years ago, you had a program called Four Seasons Coaching, I think. And I loved that analogy of shedding leaves. And, you know, I have been trained in Reiki, and, you know, one of the principles in Reiki is about having flow and having energy being able to run through you. And obviously, if there's a lot of clutter around, there are things blocking the flow, you can't do that. But it's about creating space, which is exactly what you said. You know, when the leaves shed on the trees in the fall, it allows for winter to come in. And in essence, it's, you know, snow, it's rain, it's, you know, it's cleansing the earth ready for spring. And then those new shoots that sprout up are way greener. I love spring because it's brilliant green. It's new energy. It's growth. And we can't survive and grow as people if we don't have space for that growth. So, yeah, I love that shedding leaves analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're speaking to All Seasons was my company before. Mm-hmm. I've recently rebranded it to Diamond Light Leadership. And it was the rebranding was a result of everything that I had gone through myself, and then the people that I was working with, I saw that I was working with much more than grief. I was more, it became more about transitioning through life, and each phase of life, there is a component of grief. And so helping people to acknowledge it each time that it appears, then it creates, like you said, the freedom to have the energy flow through us and create those new, stronger, even more vibrant shoots or new leaves.
Yeah. Well, it's just so important that we learn how to deal with change. I mean, at the end of the day, change will happen to us in many different ways throughout our lives. And so, you know, it's super important that we learn to acknowledge it, recognize it, see it as something that is good for us, because it does allow us to grow as individuals. And, you know, ultimately, you know, with my previous brand, which was Flourish, I tend to look at life as, you know, we're like plants, we're either growing or dying, and there's really nothing in between. And I don't know very many people who want to bring on the onset of stagnation when there's so much that we can be doing, enjoying in life when we step into being able to embrace change. So super important. Yeah. So let's hear a little bit about your story, because, you know, I love the fact that when I'm interviewing people who have been able to transition into a very impactful, a lot of it is coaching or writing books or training programs, have been able to step into something that is very impactful work, it's usually because they have themselves have a story that has touched them so deeply that they've decided that they must make a change. They must dig into this work themselves. And then through that learning journey, realize how important it is to share the lessons, the learnings that come out of it with other people. So tell me a little bit more about your story. What happened? How did you go down this path?
Well, it chose me. I think the path chose me. And I've even found myself saying sometimes, really, is grief the thing that I get to talk about or am supposed to talk about? Because, you know, how many people really want to talk about grief? And I recognize the importance. And I think the catalyst for me was recognizing how unresolved grief impacts us mentally, emotionally, and physically. And it also impacts all of our relationships. And so a lot of what I share with people is that unresolved grievances are the root cause of relationship breakdown. And people can relate to it a little bit better that way. So my story, I think, I was thinking about this morning, I think it actually started when I was in grade 3. So there's pieces, right? Or there's chapters of our story. In grade 3, the thing that I remember is being up in front of the class and reading a newspaper article and feeling like I was going to pass out. And so I had to sit down. And at that point in time, the kids started to tease me about not being able to read the article, feeling faint and having to sit down. And so they teased me relentlessly, especially the boys. And I then decided that I was never going to speak in front of people. And so it's been like from grade 3 until a few years ago where I recognized that that decision was impacting my ability to succeed in life. It was impacting my career. And so I had to make a change at that point in time. And so the grief that was present then was a loss of confidence, a loss of safety, a loss of trust that I could be in front of people, that they wouldn't make fun of me. Mm-hmm. And I really shut down at that point in time as far as sharing myself. And then there was another thing that happened in grade 3 as well, where a friend of mine moved away. So she had been my best friend. She was the only girl on my block. And we were really good friends for a couple of years. And then she moved away. And when she told me she was moving, it was like, I'm going swimming. You know, it wasn't a big deal to her because she was a minister's daughter and they moved around a lot. But it was a big deal to me. And so when she moved away, there was a feeling inside of me. And of course, you know, in grade 3, what do I really know? It wasn't until I had done a lot of this grief work that I got to realize, oh, those were the decisions that I made when I was in grade 3 that have carried through my life. And those decisions were made as a result of the grief that I felt and I didn't have words for in grade 3. But I made up for myself then that it wasn't safe to open my heart or get close to people because they leave.
It's so interesting how all of these circumstances are presented to us and, you know, from the universe, thank you, because we have lessons to learn, and how these things become pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that we then later have a chance to put together, and we start to see the picture forming. Like you, I had a traumatic experience. I mean, the first experience that I remember of my dad, I mean, I have one fond memory of being about 3 playing football in the park with him. But I have another memory when I was about 5, I drew this beautiful, I thought it was beautiful, picture of a goat in a pasture and showed it to my dad, and he trashed it. I mean, he said, basically, it's really not very good. And I was heartbroken, and I went to my mom. My mom was, you know, trying to comfort me, and she put 3 little gold stars on the bottom corner of it. But it stuck with me so much that when I started school, hard to imagine perhaps today because here I am being a rodeo show host, but I was very shy. I didn't talk to a lot of people, and I wasn't very confident. And I remember people because I just didn't talk to people, and they thought I was so heartbroken about that episode that I didn't know how to handle it. I mean, I'm young, right? I'm 5'6". And it stuck with me. And there's other things that came in later on in life which endorse that. And yeah, you reach a point where you have to start looking at some of those things and realizing that there's patterns there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't safe for you to build friendships. So how did that then link to things later in life? Because I know that you had a span of 18 months where you had a number of things going on. And I tend to look at life, you know, as a chartered HR professional spending many years in that realm, I know that, you know, a divorce, a death, a career change, you know, those are moving house. Those are all big stresses in life. And I think you had more than one of those come at you at once, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah. So in the span of 18 months, as you said, my dad died. I started a new career and I filed for divorce. And so we were in a, in the organization that I was working in, we were in a major reorganization. And right. So I was able to secure a position in the same organization, and it was completely out of my comfort zone. It was in HR, and I had no experience in HR. I was just grateful to have a job knowing that I was going to be financially responsible for my kids. Right. And so, yeah, there was a huge impact. And what I saw in myself in that time was for the year following all of that, being placed into this new role, I showed up at work every day, and I was super proud about that, but I really wasn't present. I was one of those presenteeism people. So people, you know, thought that I was doing my job and I was showing up. I didn't tell anyone until I absolutely had to what was going on for me. And it had an impact. It had an impact on obviously my performance at work, had an impact on my relationships at work, because I wasn't focused. I wasn't present. I wasn't, although it looked like I was working, I wasn't really doing the things that I was charged with, you know, responsible for. And so some relationships were broken. I had to go back and repair them later. And that experience, though, gave me insight into what people go through when they are trying to manage significant loss and trying to work. And I saw, you know, my own self showing up at work, not showing up at work, and was able to then see what was going on around me and how other people were performing or not performing and what might be underneath. And so that whole experience gave me deep, deep compassion for myself as well as for others, that we never know. We never know what other people are going through. We don't know why they respond or react the way they do. Mm-hmm. I do know, though, that usually when it's an emotionally charged reaction, it has nothing to do with what's happening in the moment and everything to do with what's happened in the past.
Right. It's almost like that, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back concept. There's all these underlying things bubbling away that have been happening in the person's life. And then you happen to say one thing and all of a sudden it's blows up. So for the listeners, you know, as a certified life coach and grief recovery specialist, what are some of the signals that people, listeners could be looking out for in their colleagues and friends to help them appreciate that there's something going on that they could really be a fantastic friend or support system for the person if they would only allow them to have a little chink to see that there is something going on and be better supporters? How can we recognize those things that are those signals?
Well, I think the first one is a change in behavior. You know, so if someone is typically quite happy, quite responsive, engaged, and all of a sudden they're not, then that would be sort of the first thing. And we could all benefit from asking ourselves the question, I wonder what's going on for them.
Right.
You know, if we know that someone's been out on leave because there's been a loss, then when they come back, one of the first things to do is to acknowledge the loss. a lot of times we want to avoid it. And, you know, the best thing is to just normalize it and say, I'm sorry to hear about your loss. Would you like to talk about it? A lot of times we're afraid, right? We don't want to say anything. We don't want to make the person uncomfortable. We don't want to make them feel bad. And they're already feeling bad. And so if we avoid them, chances are they'll feel worse. You know, some people are very private in whether or not they want to talk about it, and they'll let you know. And if we ask, then we create the space. And then we actually don't have to do anything other than listen.
Right.
Once we ask, how are you doing? Would you like to talk about it? And they start to share. All we need to do is listen. They don't need to be fixed. They're not broken. Their heart is. We create the space for them to express themselves. And then all we need to do afterwards is say, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. It's so important because, as you say, you know, they're not broken. They don't need to be fixed. I remember when my previous mother-in-law, with my ex-husband, his mom, she was very, very close in our lives. And she, you know, she had 5 kids. She phoned every one of them every evening. You know, she knew what each of us was having for dinner. I mean, she knew everything about our lives. She was very entwined. And when she passed, not only did I significantly miss her, but I was sort of trying to support the other 5 kids as well, and their kids, and grandpa, who had lost his you know, partner in life for 40 plus years. I forget how long they were married, but it really was a big impact because we were so close and she was so much a part of our daily lives. And I remember, you know, somebody would ask me something and I would say the same thing over and over and over and over about her. And I wondered, you know, like, are people getting tired of hearing this? But I just need to get it out. I can't keep this bottled inside. And I remember going back to work, you know, you get 3 days of grief and a leave of absence. That's not enough. Mm-hmm. And people coming into the kitchen at the coffee machine in the morning saying, so how are you? And, you know, my response to that was like, in my head, I'm like, I'm terrible. I'm terrible. And it was like, you know, I just sort of wanted to mumble because if it was someone I didn't know very well, I didn't want to just break up in tears. Mm-hmm. But I learned after that experience that, you know, one of the things I chose not to ask people was, how are you? I chose to then say, you know, how are things going? And that way it didn't put them on the spot as much, but if they wanted to talk, they had an opportunity to do so. Because, you know, how are you was just like, oh, dangerous conversation for me to have.
Yeah. I always get super curious. I like what you just said there. How are you doing? Cause it does take a little pressure off of the individual. How are things going? Yeah. How are things going versus how are you? It takes some pressure off. I have noticed, though, so in the grief recovery certification training, they told us that when people say they're fine, fine stands for feelings inside not expressed.
Yeah.
And so I find myself a little more in tune to that and a little, you know, more curious, of course, when someone says that they're fine, really. And so... there was one time when I was at work, I got on the elevator with a woman who was one of those people who was always very cheerful, always very happy, and met her on the elevator. And I said, how are you today? And she said, fine. And I thought, that's not her normal response. And, you know, she got off the elevator on her floor. I went back to my desk and it kind of sat with me all day. And I thought, you know, it just doesn't seem like her. So I went to her office at the end of the day and I said, you know, I just wanted to check in on you. You didn't seem yourself on the elevator. Is everything okay? And she said, no. She had just got news that morning that a dear friend of hers had been diagnosed with cancer. And she said, you know, you're the only one that's asked me today.
Yeah. Important to acknowledge when there is a shift in behavior. So that's certainly something that we can all pay attention to. So, I mean, in your case, you know, you faced your father's death, you had the new career, you filed for divorce, your relationships, your career, probably your finances as well were all in upheaval. Did that impact your health?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than I realized.
How did it impact your health?
Yeah. More than I realized, actually, because so part of my nature and learned behavior is to be strong, you know, to be right. strong and carry on and hold it all together. And so in holding it all together, I held it all inside. And I, at one point in time, was not feeling very well. And I went to a naturopath. And she did some tests and she came back and asked me if I was under stress. And this was kind of at the tail end or even a little after everything had happened. And so I thought I was doing pretty good. And I said, no, you know, I think I'm handling my stress okay. I think I'm doing all right. And she said, well, your body's telling me something different. And she told me that I had, So one of the tests that she did was for cortisol, the stress hormone. And a normal level is 4 to 11, and mine was greater than 40.
So you cut out just for a moment there. Which indicator?
The cortisol.
Cortisol, yeah.
Cortisol is the stress hormone.
Right.
Yeah.
So and it's supposed to be a normal range.
Between 4 and 11,
yep.
And mine was greater than 40. Like there was no measure on the chart past 40. It just said greater than 40.
Wow.
Yeah. So that then, of course, told me why I was feeling tired, but I wasn't really feeling much, you know, no other symptoms. But there are a lot of people who that then left unchecked becomes adrenal fatigue. And we've heard that there, you know, we've heard a lot about adrenal fatigue in the last few years.
Yeah. Right. So how was that showing up in your body? Like, how were you feeling at the time?
You know, it's hard for me actually to remember. And that's part of it is that, you know, the stress and the unresolved grief, the emotions, all of it have an effect on our memory and our ability to be clear and focused and present at the time. So I think the main thing I remember is that I felt tired all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember coming back from my mum's funeral in England, and I think I was probably about 35, maybe 38 then. And I just had this very high anxiety level, and it didn't help that when I came back, I found out that my team was going to be cut from 13 to 7 and there was some major restructuring planned and I was trying to figure out how am I going to get the work done with half the team basically and you know we had a fairly close-knit team, so it was emotionally trying to just think about having those severance meetings as well. Mm-hmm. But it was you know, my stomach was in knots. It felt like buzzing in my head. I couldn't concentrate. I certainly was not able to make big decisions. So the decisions that were thrust upon me that were about to unfold with regards to the severances, that felt like a massive challenge to figure out how to work through that. And the morning that I actually was doing the severance meetings, I was living in Chestermere at the time and was driving in on the highway. And I had planned to be in really early because it's better to have severance meetings first thing in the morning. There were 5 of them planned that day and they were going to be back to back to back. And as I'm driving in the dark out of Chestermere, I hear this thumping, this like knocking starting in my engine. And I thought, oh, maybe I've just run out of oil or something. Oh, I'll just get to the gas station. And as I got onto the highway about, you know, 5 minutes in, it just began to be really, really loud, and eventually my engine just like cracked and stopped, and that's it. So here I am. Not only was I already stressed, but then I had these severance meetings. Now I'm stuck on the side of the highway and having to call AA to get me into the office on time. Crazy, crazy time, crazy days. So my strategy at the time for working through that was, and I hadn't been trained in it back then, but I did choose to literally stay still, sit still, take several deep breaths, and just visualize myself safely arriving at my destination and calmly walking into the building. So it was really about visualization for me to get through it. Yeah. Now, when we were together on the weekend and you were sharing, you shared your personal transformation, how it led you to having a much deeper level of compassion, wisdom and love for yourself and obviously for others, and being inspired to share these understanding, these coping strategies. I was wondering if that would be a great thing for the listeners to understand as well, that tool that you described, your grief tool.
So you cut out. I didn't hear. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So when we were together on the weekend, you shared how your personal transformation had led to a deeper compassion, wisdom, and love for both yourself and others, and referenced an acronym, GRIEF. And I thought that might be helpful to share with the listeners.
Sure. Yeah. So there are a number of beliefs that we have that have sort of been handed to us as far as how we get through grief. And so I use the word grief to help people to remember what those beliefs are. Okay. And so the first one, G, is for give it time. And so there is a belief that many of us have or have been handed that we just need to give grief time. But time alone is not going to heal our grief. It might, the pain may dissipate over time, but the true healing comes from the actions that we take within that time. And then the next one is R, which stands for replace the loss. And so there's an idea that we can go out and replace the loss. And so, early on in childhood, if you had a pet die, your parents may have gone and got you another pet before you were able to be emotionally complete with the relationship that you had with the first pet. And then sometimes what happens to kids is they feel bad because they don't love the new pet as much as they love the old pet. And it's because they're not emotionally complete with the first one. And they've, their heart's been broken, maybe even closed off a little bit. I relate it to my experience of my friend moving away. I had opened my heart to this person and now she's gone. And I was hurt by that. And so I closed my heart a little bit. I think we all do that over time. If we don't know how to complete the loss, then we close our heart a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more each time that something like that happens. So then the next one is I, which stands for isolate or grieve alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that either we think that we need to do it alone or others think that they should leave us alone. Right. And so, sometimes we do need quiet moments of reflection and restoration. And then there's also a point in time where we need to be supported. And the support could be, just like I mentioned earlier, someone simply listening so that we can express ourselves and let those emotions out. Then the next one is E, which stands for escape. And the idea that we can get away, society tells us that we just need to go on vacation, get away, escape, go somewhere nice, go sit on a beach, and that's all lovely. And what I know is that grief will be waiting on the sofa when you get home. So we might escape for a little while, but if we don't take care of the grief, complete the relationship, we will carry that with us.
Right.
And then the last one is F, and that stands for feeling sad is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, we've been conditioned not to feel the way that we feel. And so it becomes unsafe for a lot of people to share what they're actually feeling. And it goes both sides, the sad and the excited. I remember when I was in grade one, I brought some artwork to school to share with my friends. And I was super excited about it. And the teacher told me that I needed to put it away and be quiet and not to be so excited. And so, you know, again, doing the work that I've done, I can look back and say, oh, that's a point in time where I decided that it wasn't okay to be that excited.
It's funny how we can, again, once we start doing our own inner work at a deep level, reflecting back. And I mean, I had an example when I was 11. I mean, in England, you very often have, or back then, they had an exam to determine whether you were going to go to grammar school, which is where the smart kids went, or secondary school, where the not so smart kids went. And my sister, who's 3 years older than me, a real very studious, very quiet, total opposite of my adventurous soul. She was already in grammar school. She passed with flying colors. And I remember my dad getting the envelope in the mail and standing in the hallway, watching him open it and seeing his face literally turn, you know, red. His eyes were black. He was absolutely furious. And I had flunked by 2 marks. And he was absolutely furious, screamed at me, I would never, ever be successful in life, and stomped out of the room. And I mean, I was like stunned for starters. I mean, I knew I wasn't the world's most successful student. However, I knew that I had very valuable life skills. I mean, you know, when you can climb trees and you can swing to the highest point on the swing at the park, I mean, you have practical common sense experiences and adventurous spirit, but I wasn't a studious kind. So that stuck with me for many, many years. And I just, in the moment, decided, you know, you are so wrong and I'm going to prove you wrong. And I carried that energy with me for 45 years of striving and proving and trying so hard to prove him wrong. Yeah. And it led to all kinds of things. And I mean, it did lead to me watching my mom, who was a stay-at-home mom, very much quieter than she was when she first met him. She literally got the life drained right out. He came back from the war, Second World War. He took a bullet in Dunkirk, came back with PTSD. And I just thought he was plain angry. But I watched her literally get the dignity drained out of her. And that was a big reason why when I wanted to write a book and put some of the coaching work that I've done and repeating the same concepts over and over with helping women to have more confidence, to step into new levels of leadership, it was time to put the book together. It was in honor of my mom and my unmentor, who I watched literally get drained away and swore that I was never going to be that person. And that's why I do the work that I do, helping women have more confidence today. Yeah. So I typically have a quick excerpt talking about my book where I share the screen. I'm not sure if it's going to be working today. So let's just give this a quick whirl and see if we can actually share it quickly. So my book is called Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversation. Just a quick intro about it.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, the Me Too movement is flourishing and all signalling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women and Wisdom today.
So, yes, the book was a two-year project, 9 months to write it, getting up at 5 every morning, and then having a chance to get it edited and formatted so that it's in print and ebook version available on Amazon. So coming back to the lessons that you have learned, I'm wondering if there's maybe 3 to 5 lessons that you've been working with individuals now in this specialist area of life coaching, grief recovery specialist. What are some of the key learnings that you think it's important that listeners understand about how to deal with, how to manage grief? What do we need to know that is super important, that is the first step towards healing?
Well, the first step, I think, is to be willing. Willing to feel, being willing to step into the experience, being willing to explore what has happened just enough to take your power back and to reclaim who you are and move forward. So the work that I do with people, we do look back, but we look back only enough to connect the dots, to see what it is that we have been hanging on to, and then safely let go of. So that would be one. Another one is understanding ourselves and others, that we're all doing the best that we can with, you know, the information that we have, the experience that we've had. We are all on a journey. We're all on our journey back to ourselves. We all have something that has happened to us in the past, happened to us, happened for us. And when we can see it for what it was, take the learning, and then, like I said, let it go, we reclaim a little bit more of ourselves. From my perspective, my own experience, and my working with people, I would say that the root cause of any relationship breakdown is unresolved grief.
Yeah. And I think when I was looking on your website, you have a number of people commenting, you know, client testimonials, if you like, that are talking about how important it is to work through that unresolved grief. And I think it's a fairly common term to, you know, not be fluffing things under the rug. Trying to pretend they're not there, because it builds up, and it'll show up either in our health, in our energy levels, in how we react to things. We react versus responding, because we are emotionally charged. There's actually a really interesting book that a colleague recommended to me. It's called The Presence Process. And it talks about how emotional energy doesn't get integrated as we are growing up. So the first 7 years of our life, we're very much focusing on, as children, we don't always have the language yet, so we are expressing our emotions. When we're in the second phase, from sort of 7 to 14, we're looking at life through the lens of relationships. And then in the third, through intellect. And then in the third phase, sort of 14 to 21, we're looking at relationships and putting our energy there, but we very rarely get the opportunity to come back together and knit those three energies together. So when things keep showing up, or often they show up in these patterns of, you know, something that happened 7 years ago, and unless you are willing to acknowledge and recognize that this event just happened and it triggered something in you, and be willing to think back, you know, well, what was happening 7 years ago? Was that something that I had an experience with? If so, maybe there is an opportunity to sit with that energy and just let it integrate together. But it is painful. It's painful to sit in that negative energy, that highly charged energy, and work through it. So any tips on working through things? Because I know that's super, super important, and we can't rely on other people to do it. We have to do that work ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. And that, so it takes a lot of courage and a willingness to face it. You know, a lot of times we want to put it away, and you said under the rug. I actually spoke to a woman that I had worked with, and she was... I did a radio show in 2015, and I had 13 episodes, and she had listened to every single episode, and she got a lot out of it. And so we continued to have the conversations, and then I left work, so I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. And when I met with her, I asked her how things were going, and she said, "Oh, well, I'm still putting things under the rug." And I said, "Great, how's that working out for you?" And she said, "Not very well." And she's still not ready. She's not ready to face the pain. She, you know, sometimes the pain has to be greater than the internal pain has to almost get to a point where it's greater than the perceived pain.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, yeah, it's the willingness, and then the courage. and then the working through it. One thing that's quite effective for people is to write down everything that they're thinking and feeling, because that gets it out of, at least it gets out of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
As far as moving the emotional energy, any sort of movement, so swimming, dancing, running, anything that can get that energy out of the body is helpful.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously you have a lot of strategies to help identify and come to terms with past or present grief, cope with the lingering pain of loss or change, pick up the pieces and move on with your life. I mean, that's really the essence of the work that you do. So you can find out more about Melody's work at diamondlightleadership.ca. And I will put that website link in the replays as well, so you have the opportunity to connect with Melody. You also had something that you wanted to share with the listeners as well. I think you had a gift.
Yeah, I have two. Okay. Yeah, so if they want to go to my website, which you said is diamondlightleadership.ca, there's an ebook that I've written, and it's called Conscious Grieving, A Modern Day Guide Through Loss and Change. And there's a lot of tips in there and supportive words to help people get through those initial days, weeks, and months of the loss. And then also on my website, a simple, you know, the contact form, they can send me an email and we can set up a 30-minute consultation call. Sometimes people say, when is the right time to deal with grief? It's now. Now is the right time, especially if they're connecting to anything that's been shared today. And another way for people to know if there's something that they need to complete from the past is if there's a recurring wish for things to be better or different than they were or they are now.
A recurring wish. Wow.
A recurring wish for things to be different or better.
So, you know, Diamond Light Leadership, love that name, because it's such such a signal of hope and possibility that people can get through the grieving process, whatever it is you're grieving the loss of, whether it is a, you know, a relationship, a job loss, whatever it is. What about for leaders in particular? I mean, you've got leadership in that title there. What is it that's really important as a leader, if you're going through one of these traumatic losses yourself, how can you manage yourself so that you're still supporting your team during that loss period?
Super important question, because we can only lead people as far as we've gone ourselves.
Right.
And so leaders need to reach out for support in some fashion, find someone that they can talk to in order to release what they're feeling so that they can then be present for their employees. It's the same as families, you know, women, mothers, they need to be able to look to someone to be supported, reach out to a mentor or a coach or a family member that they can share what's going on for them so that they can then be present for their family.
Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope that the listeners are taking away a lot from it. I love the title of that book, Conscious Grieving, A Modern Day Guide Through Loss and Change. And I know that, you know, you believe that just like diamonds are formed by extreme pressure and upheaval, so too do you, as listeners, become more brilliant and resilient with the emotional upheaval of change. However, as a coach as well, I strongly encourage you, you know, don't try and go through this alone. You know, if you are in the same place that you were 6 months ago and not healing, then clearly if there is no change, there will be no change. So reach out to someone who is trained and skilled at embracing your natural and necessary grief, which is Melody, a certified life coach, grief recovery specialist, and clearly from the work that she's done herself, healing through her own life with her father's death and divorce and career and all these things happening all at once, she will understand and be able to work, work with you to heal and get through this time so that you can have relief and hope and a new sense of the beauty that life can bring. So I highly recommend that you connect with Melody. That is her specialty. Any last words of wisdom to share on this topic?
Yes, it's okay to cry. Your tears won't last forever, and you're not alone.
And certainly from, Reiki energy work too, tears are cleansing. They're just their life's way of washing away the sadness and creating something that is new. And once we've let that release go, we're not holding it in anymore. It's not like pressure pushing up against the floodgates, because by holding it in, you're creating a resistance. And once the floodgates are open, you've acknowledged that there is something going on, you're ready to deal with it, it does create an immense feeling of lightness in the body and hope. And if the work that Melody is doing can help support you in that, I encourage you to reach out, connect with her, diamondlightleadership.ca, pick up a copy of that ebook, that gift. And if you are yourself a leader who is also looking to be bolder and step up, step out, particularly thinking about 2020 coming up and how to expand your team, engage your team, show up as a stronger leader. If you're in Calgary, I actually have an event coming up December 11th at the Calgary Petroleum Club. It's called the Bold Women Leaders Event, and it's about how bold women leaders can foster innovation power, which ultimately leads to higher sustainability. Because when we naturally embrace our leadership competencies as women in a new way, being aware of what those are or leveraging them, we can engage our team in a much more effective way, and happy team members are the ones that will be talking to your clients about the great things your company is doing. And when employees are happy, then that's typically when revenues flow and your business is much more sustainable. So I encourage you to check out my website as well for details about that event. It's on December 11th. It's a breakfast event. And the website address for my website is wordswomenandwisdom.com. And unlike the book title, it's actually not the ampersand, it's wordswomenandwisdom.com. And I look forward to bringing more amazing women to you through the Words, Women, and Wisdom show to spotlight what the world needs, which is more consciousness and tools and wisdom and knowledge of people who've been before and have figured out what the recipe is to work through this particular topic. And this one today is all about the upheaval of grief and being able to work through it. So thank you, Melody, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure having you. And I look forward to staying connected. Everybody, have a great week, and look forward to seeing you next time on the Words, Women, and Wisdom show, learning at lunchtime and helping you to have an opportunity to uplift your spirit through learning that there's amazing women who have done it and they've been before you. So it's your turn. Step it up. Bye for now, everyone.